1:16, I think we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order and get started. First up on the agenda is to approve the minutes from June 27th.
Move approval of the minutes.
Motion to approve. Anyone want a second?
Second.
There's been a second. Any discussion? Okay, we're gonna vote on that. All in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Now we're gonna set the order of the agenda. So we have, an agenda that was given to us. Would anyone like to make changes to that agenda? All right, we'll set the agenda as written. Anyone in favor? Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay. So we now have 15 minutes for an open comment period where we'll hear from the public. So obviously we have some that want to speak. So go ahead. Please introduce yourself for the audio.
Hi, my name is Barry Skolnick. Two comments. One about the attachment, which I'll get to in a second. The other thing is I just want to mention that there were, again, on the official agenda that was attached for public review before the meeting, there was no attachments. So even the template code of conduct, there's some things that you're going to discuss, I feel, should be attached. Perhaps if the attorney has any, city attorney has any confidential comments, those wouldn't be, obviously, but anything else, in my opinion, should be attached so the public can see it and determine whether or not they want to comment on it.
Okay, fair enough. And we do have on the agenda today, under other business, agenda material inclusion for website.
Okay.
So we'll discuss that.
The other thing I wanted to mention is the template code of conduct. I gave out a copy of it, and I feel some of the wording in it is very ambiguous. It could be subject to many different interpretations. So I crossed out basically on A through H is basically okay. I have a line through that, but that was a mistake on H. So I is, it says engage in discriminatory, I think it should say, or retaliatory behavior when interacting with each other, staff, and public. The word offensive could be very, very interpreted in many, many different ways, and I just think it's too vague to actually have. I just think you have endless arguments about what it means, and I just think it's a bad word to use. What's offensive to one is not necessarily offensive to somebody else. Jay has, I took out that as disrespectful, so it would read, treat each other, staff, or members of the public in a manner that may foster a hostile environment, whether in the workplace or at city-sponsored social events. So if you want to include that, and actually you could take the whole thing out, I don't really feel it's that important to put in there, but if you have to include that, I would definitely take out the word disrespectful, because again, it's a very vague word that can mean many, many different things to many different people, and even unprofessional. If you're having people on citizen advisory committees and things like that, which would be something that you'll be using this, the idea that somebody's going to consider professional or unprofessional, what does that mean? Does it mean how they dress? Does it mean they're speaking too loud? Or what exactly does that mean? It's a very vague word. And I think anything that you do in terms of a code of conduct, if you find it's absolutely essential to do it, should be something that's clear, open and clear to everyone and enforces. Otherwise, you're going to just lend yourself into all kinds of problems and headaches. And that's my opinion about that.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Smith?
As long as the issue has been raised, fully historical context, I don't go back to the original Ethics Commission, but I came on shortly thereafter, and I was conversant with the efforts that the City Council made with the then City Attorney and others to draft the Ethics Ordinance. I think they were pretty careful to limit it to the financial issues that you are now involved in ruling on. There was obviously the opportunity to become the moderator of behavior among employees in particular, and I think that the council decided that that's the responsibility of either the supervising people in the city or in regard to perhaps the council to the other members of the council to exercise that kind of decision-making, and they were not interested in having the ethics committee be involved in it. And candidly, I think that is still probably a pretty good decision by the council.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Okay, I will close the open comment period. We're now on to reports. Mr. Luce?
I've had no inquiries or reports outside of the one complaint, which is in new business.
Thank you. So we're on to unfinished business, with the first item being the Schmitz opinion decision, following up on what we discussed last time. Forget, what exactly are we trying to decide? I know this led into parts of the code of conduct stuff, but was there a specific item that we're addressing?
The chair and board members, my recollection was that initially this sparked discussion on campaign finance issues. I'm not sure that this was the precipitous for any ethics issues, but maybe to some degree it was. I think the goal today is to determine whether or not you as a board would like to issue a formal opinion or not. So those are your two choices. To otherwise dispose of the letter, I put it up on the board in case you don't have it.
And can you remind me what we discussed, what the actual state laws are and local laws are on disclosures? Can you remind me what that was?
The state statutes.
Was that the $750 one?
But yes, that's part of it. So the state statutes dictate campaign finance, and throughout all state offices, including municipal offices, there are some differences in Ramsey County, Hennepin County. They have their own rules, but again, those are codified in state law.
And we already have one for $100.
So,
right, if you get $100, if you accrue up to $750, then you have to disclose any single donors over $100. Is that correct?
Those are both correct. So the $750 is when you have to file your initial report. Right. So at the point where you've either expended or received $750, either way, you're required to file a financial report. You're also required to provide the individual names of anyone giving the candidate over $100. So those are where those numbers come from.
Okay.
The question asked in here specifically is whether or not Rochester City Ordinance has further restrictions on there. It's my opinion they do not. I think you can read them together. Specifically in state law, they say that a gift is a campaign contribution is not a gift. So I don't think our limitations on gifts or our where it talks about gifts in our code. I think those can be read together rather than being the city trying to supersede state law or change state law.
Anyone want to discuss this or make some sort of motion?
Well, I think the discussion that we had previously was that campaign contributions are not gifts per state law, that campaign contributions above the amounts that were mentioned are already fully disclosed, again, by state law, and they're on the city website, I believe they're posted there. And so those are already occurring. This request was to kind of go beyond that to say that if they're that campaign contribution should not be permitted if the person making the donation had business before the city council. but that seems to be in contravention of the existing law, state law, which says it's not considered a gift, and so then you'd be, you know, interfering with the person's right for to donate money to the candidate of their choice simply because they have business before the city council, because almost everybody might eventually have business before the city council. So anyway, that was the my recollection of the discussion, so that I guess my recommendation would be to thank Mr. Schmitz for bringing this forward and you know, receive this information, but not to change any policies on the basis of it.
Sounds good to me. Anyone else?
Does it have to be a motion, or is it
I guess we're discussing.
Is what Mr. Armiato said okay, and then does it need to be seconded, or do we just say?
I can make it as a motion. That would be my motion, that we receive it and file it.
That was the language I was looking at. I think you, all you need to do is make a motion to receive and file. And
Okay, so moved.
So we have a motion and a second to receive and file this information, but take no further action and not make any proposed changes to the codes. We have a second. Okay, so any discussion on that before we vote?
Well, I'm wondering, to bring closure to it, if there would be a mind of the group to simply make the statement that anything not in violation of existing law or regulation is not a violation of the Code of Ethics.
I don't know. I think that kind of goes beyond. This was very specific. That's more general.
I mean, I can sort of daydream scenarios where somebody might do something that's not listed as illegal, but might seem like maybe they shouldn't do that, and then that would not leave us a recourse to address it.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking in terms of contributions specifically, not, you know, I didn't mean that as a general statement that would cover all things. But maybe the discussion that we've had, maybe the motion that has been made, satisfies my desire for a statement that would bring the issue to closure.
Okay. Anyone else? All right, so we'll go ahead and vote on the motion to just accept and file the information. Everyone in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion passes unanimously. So on to talking about the Code of Conduct draft policy recommendation.
Is this something that came to the council of the whole? Is that discussed?
So for this board's information, here's where we're at with this. I have spoken to some of the city council members, some individual city council members. This matter is on for the committee of the whole meeting 1 week from yesterday. I'm preparing a draft for them to review and more or less for them to determine whether they want to move forward with this, with having a code of conduct and rules of procedure. The draft I'm working on is more rules of procedure. That's kind of the focus of it. I'm looking for, I guess, their opinion, I guess, on whether they want a rules of, or a code of conduct component to it. I've heard mixed messages, so we'll see, I guess, at the meeting next week. I'm not prepared to share a draft at this meeting of what I've been working on. Again, I don't think it's entirely relevant. Most of what document I'm working on is a rules of procedure, more order of motions and, you know, boring Robert's rules type things. So I am going to have a draft ethics component of it. And that is more or less going to be for them to determine whether they want me to pursue it further. What I view this board's role, I guess, would be if the council, they I guess the council could do a few different things. They could just direct me to draft one. They could say they're not interested, or they could say that they think it would be best for the ethics board to have a hand in drafting it. I'm going to provide them those options and see which way they want to go. That said, I do have, I did find the San Diego one that was mentioned last meeting. We have the Minnesota League of Cities one, which Mr. Skolnick provided to you, and which you found online before. We can look at those. There's also a model statement of values that the League of Minnesota Cities has. That's another thing that a number of cities have done. I take no opinion on it, I guess, other than to say that other cities have done it, and it is a model statement, I guess, that the League of Minnesota Cities has drafted.
Jason, in your research, and also as you have put together a code of conduct thoughts, where does the enforcement lie?
That varies greatly, state to state, especially. Typically, when you're speaking a code of conduct related to elected officials, it's going to lie with them.
Them being?
The elected officials, the body.
Okay.
So if an individual council member violates the council code of conduct, it would be up to the council as a body to publicly reprimand or take other action as they see fit.
So in the situation that was presented to us previously, that situation would have been brought forth to the city council rather than to the ethical board, ethical practice board.
Typically, that's the model I've seen. I have seen some cities that haven't. San Diego would be one of the examples that has an outside board. They are operating under different state laws, however, and they, from what I can tell anyway, this is just off of my reading of theirs. I have no experience with them, but it appears they meet in private and discuss these in private, and they don't become public unless or until they've established that a full investigation is required. So I think it's, again, this is just my opinion, I think it is drafted that way to avoid political mudslinging, I guess, having the ethics board turned into an offensive weapon, as this would be an example, I guess.
Thanks for that. I just wanted to point out that for this template code of conduct, A through H and K are already a part of that chapter 13 of our code of ethics. So it's really just I and J that are not currently, and that's what I think Mr. Smith was referring to. So apparently this I and J are not new additions. They were there before, but they do relate to things that are certainly in the news these days, retaliatory behavior, hostile work environment, things of that nature. So, but those are the only things that are not already in our current code, so.
Yes, those are called the Maplewood clauses. So.
The Maplewood clauses, okay.
Yeah. Maplewood, Minnesota had some issues at one point.
I see. Oh, so those were added at that time? I see.
I'm wondering if, before we engage in too significant of a discussion, if it might be appropriate for us to wait to see how the city council views this and where they go with it, because ultimately whatever we do would be a recommendation to the city council anyway, and so rather than go through a lot of procedural work right now on our part, it might behoove us to wait until you proceed further with your efforts.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I can relay to the council that the board has expressed an interest and a desire in having a code of conduct of some sort. And
well, expanding the code of conduct. You have a code of conduct, but it's
right.
just that adding those Maplewood, if you will, two clauses, either completely or, as Mr. Skolnick has recommended, making some changes, but still adding language along those lines in addition to the language we have, which covers all the other 8 or 9 or however many it is, things that are listed there.
Right.
So you want to make a motion to table this until next time?
Yeah, I make a motion to table this until we receive further information from Ms. Malouz and the council regarding their directions.
Yeah. Second.
Any discussion on that? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll do a vote on that. All those in favor of holding off discussing this further until after the city council has reviewed what they want to do, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion passes unanimously. So we'll hold off on that. All right, so next up, we're on to new business. We have some information we received concerning the member of Rochester Police Policy Oversight Commission. Mr. Lewis, can you reiterate what can we say and what should we not say?
Yes, so under Minnesota law, complaints like this can be considered private data, with the exception of council members. So regardless of whether or not you found any need to further investigate a council member, it would become public data, hence the complaints against council, you know, the one council member, I guess, we've used his name and identified him. In my opinion, that makes sense because it's going to be identified regardless. In this case, however, if you know you have the three options, you can find that there has been no basically probable cause and no ethics violation, and it would go away. At that point, the individual's name would not be public. Therefore, I would prefer, while we're discussing it here, that we try to keep the name private. Minnesota has somewhat of an odd law on their public meetings, where just because the actual data you're discussing is private, the meeting is still open. So we can't close the meeting. It might be that this individual is identified. All we can do, I guess, is to try not to. If at such time as you make a motion, determine, for example, that you believe that this does warrant a further investigation, at that time, the name would be public data.
Okay, so let's keep that in mind as we discuss.
So the reporter of the incident makes reference to the Rochester Code of Ethics 1313A, which is the obligation to report provision. Mr. Lewis, do you have can you inform us, if proved, what provision of the Code of Ethics would this violate?
In my opinion, if proved, there would likely be more than one. I can tell you, I have reviewed some of this information. It was my opinion that it should come to this board after speaking with the police chief. I can tell you that.
Is it in a proper form of a complaint?
This is, yes, I believe it is.
So did you have discretion not to bring it to this board?
I believe I did not.
Okay.
Which is why it's before this board.
All right.
I can tell you what happened. And then I do have some audio recordings that we can listen to. I don't know of a way that we can listen to them without possibly identifying this individual, but at the same time, it might be necessary. This individual is a member of the Police Policy Oversight Commission. They are responsible for providing public input on police policies. That's a very general way, I guess, of what they do. This member was traveling outside of the city limits, but in Olmsted County. He was pulled over for speeding by an Olmsted County Sheriff's deputy. At the time he was pulled over, he identified himself as a member of the commission, and the deputy took that to mean he was looking for some sort of special treatment. Subsequently, after the traffic stop, he was given a citation. He then called a higher ranking member of the sheriff's department and discussed, argued with him a bit, and then did discuss making the ticket go away. That individual also felt that he was using his position as a commission member to try and get out of the speeding ticket. He contacted the police chief, who contacted myself. After reviewing it, I pointed out that once you're made aware of this information, I believe it needs to be reported. And the police chief did do that, so now it's before you. And we have, like I said, you do have a memo containing some information of what happened. And there's mention of some audio recordings. So the audio recordings are the recording made from the, not from the body camera, but the dash camera. Off the sheriff's department wears a microphone on their person, so it was picking up the conversation at the traffic stop. And the other two recordings are two separate phone calls that the higher ranking individual at the sheriff's department received from this member, which he believed was him potentially trying to influence a decision to dismiss the ticket.
So can you clarify what it is that we're supposed to do now? Are we simply supposed to decide whether or not this is worthy of investigation, or are we supposed to come to some decision?
You have three options. One, you first, I guess, you need to determine whether or not there is a likelihood that the ethics code has been violated. If you find that it has, then you have two options. You can ask that we have an investigator look into this. Since I've been here, the board has not done that. However, they have in a few circumstances. Or two, you can find that, again, that it was likely or it's more likely than not that it did happen, that being a violation of the ethics rules, and you can set it for a hearing. You can do that at the next meeting. Your other option is to find that it, even if proven true, the allegations do not amount to violating any ethics rule, and you can summarily dismiss it at that point.
Okay. So we could either, we can dismiss it, or if we think that there's probable cause that there's an ethics violation, and as you mentioned, there's several different provisions that this could violate, potentially, if someone were to have done what was stated, described. So we could either request an investigation, you can bring in an investigator or a third party to evaluate it and then report back, or we could say, no, we don't need an investigator, but then we would have a hearing. We wouldn't make, in other words, we wouldn't say in the absence of that person being able to defend themselves or anything else, we wouldn't make a decision, this is definitely an ethical violation. We would simply say that we'll have a hearing about it.
Correct.
That would be the other option.
Yes.
There's no option of saying, you know, you're guilty, you're done. That's not an option.
No, that would violate this individual's due process,
correct.
Right?
Okay, so. Perfect. I just wanted to clarify for myself. Okay, so those are the choices that we have. Thank you.
Consistent with those due process rights, the reason that I asked for citation of the provisions of the code that are involved here, the subject of the complaint, in the event it goes beyond the dismissal here today, is entitled to be specifically informed with respect to those provisions or provision of the code that he or she would be called upon to defend.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And I guess in my opinion, that's this board's responsibility to determine which possible sections of code were violated.
Usually it's done as a part of the complaint, and that's why I felt the need to be sure that that's done. Secondly, as a member of the Police Policy Oversight Commission, I want to make it clear that I am not the member. But also, as a member of the Police Policy Oversight Commission, I hereby recuse myself from further discussion or action to be taken in the matter.
Thank you. I didn't even throw you on that question.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And that's correct. I have seen other complaints where they've specified. However, I still think it's this board's obligation.
Yeah, and I think, I think part of the process of making complaints to this board is it's supposed to be relatively layperson friendly, right? So we don't want to punish people just because they weren't able to dive through the legalese and pick out the section. Was that fair, do you think?
I think that's fair to say. And also, I know in this case, it's somewhat secondhand information that the employee received, so I don't think he's very comfortable.
Right.
I think he just wanted to report what he knew, and that was.
I think in times past, and I'm dating myself here, but we have had a form, and the form does clearly outline the suggested.
Ten different. There's a list of.
Yeah,
what
and
we could
actually put that together in a form, a format document, and I don't know whether it'd be appropriate to go back to this this individual who this memo is from and ask that person to place the complaint on that form. I think it is, just so that we have consistency in our reporting procedure.
So I can tell you that it was the chief of police, chief of police, who had this information, and he was relying on the section here that requires them to disclose when they receive a complaint. The actual complaint, the way I view it, is from the sheriff's department. That's the first-hand complaint. So this is a somewhat of a unique situation. I mean, in my view, it's pretty clear the allegations would be B, C, D. I've got them up on the board here, so.
Right. That's pretty clear, it seems to me. Based on what you said, assuming that it's true.
I guess for sake of discussion moving forward, I would make a motion that we schedule this for a hearing at our next meeting.
And could we inform the person that these are the three sections that are specifically to be focused on, or do we have to do that?
Well, when you say hearing, are you saying that you found that
probable cause,
more or less that that's doesn't say probable cause, but those are
so. Do we do a two-tiered motion? Right. So we find probable cause, and then
separate, and we go to a hearing.
Yeah.
And I move that we find probable cause for there to be a hearing.
What is 1313A?
It's
1313A requires any city employee or public official to report any conduct if they believe there's been a violation of the code of ethics. So this wouldn't apply to the sheriff's department per se, because they're not, well, they are public officials in every other sense. They're not a public official in the sense of this, of our city ordinance,
because they're not employees. Right. So, I mean, I'd second the motion that we, that there's sufficient cause to proceed with the hearing, and if we have to specify the sections of the code, you know, I think that the ones that were outlined, section 13.4, B, C, and D seem the most relevant ones. They're listed there, use of the position to secure special privileges, favors, and or personal gain. That's what the three are. They're all just related to that, so that.
Just in the sort of the vein of discussion, so you mentioned that you have the audio recordings here and available?
I do.
Okay, so I guess, you know, also kind of what was mentioned earlier, to make sure that that person is aware that we're moving forward, because if we choose to do so, I guess I would ask that we hold off on listening to those, since they might identify the person until that
the time
person,
of the hearing.
Yeah.
Just when they could be here.
Okay, so with that in mind, then, you know, I'd like to also, I agree that find probable cause in that hearing. Anyone else want to discuss, or? Okay, so we'll go ahead and vote on that. No more discussion? Okay. So we're voting on that, yes, there's probable cause to move forward, and by doing to do that, we're going to schedule a hearing where we can hear from the accused directly, as well as any witnesses. I'm voting on that. Anyone in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Having recused, I abstain.
With one abstention, motion passes.
So will you contact them, the sheriff's office? It sounds like they're the ones that are the direct.
So after the meeting today, I say I'm probably Jody will contact all of the witnesses and the member and find a date that works. I know typically you like to set your meetings at the, you know, for next month at the end of the meeting, but in these situations it might be easier for us to try and find a time that works for the witnesses too. So
maybe we won't pick a specific date. We'll have to do that by email or something.
That sounds good. Any other action that we need to take on this today?
No.
We're good? Okay. So moving on to the next agenda item. Under other business, we are to discuss the review of the Chapter 13 Code of Ethics. So is this following up with the PowerPoint and the suggested changes?
Yes. However, I guess with it, this might be a little bit shorter than I initially thought, just because after speaking to the council members and the fact that I'm going to have this item on a committee of the whole agenda next Monday, I think it makes sense to hold off going on an in-depth discussion on the Code of Ethics. If the council decides they want to pursue a code of conduct or a rules of procedure, and this is something they're looking to codify, it would make sense that it would be codified in Chapter 13.
Yep, so do it all at once kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, I would like to get their direction, I guess. However, I am interested if anyone has any, you know, specific changes they would like to see. I'm interested in hearing that and relaying that to the council at the meeting next week as well. From my point of view, there's, you know, some things that need to be cleaned up that we've mentioned. The number being the one, the 7 and 7, 9, I think it was. Outside of that, there's, you know, there's a few things that can be cleaned up. If this document is to be used solely for conflicts of interest, I think we could clean up a lot of the language and maybe shorten it a bit to make it a little less confusing to the public. But outside of that, it seems to have served the city well the last couple of years.
No, I would just say, kind of given the Me Too phenomenon and a variety of other things that are going on, I think it would be reasonable to expand the code of ethics to include other kinds of conduct besides financial conflicts of interest, such as were mentioned in the that uniform language, which include hostile work environment and whatever the other thing was that was mentioned. That kind of
discrimination.
Yeah, the discrimination, retaliation, that sort of thing. So, without, you know, maybe taking all the words as Mr. Skolnick pointed out, some of them being kind of ambiguous, but along those lines of including other kinds of behavior that would, you know, have a noxious effect on the conduct of the affairs of the city and would, you know, cast a negative image on the city. So, but using things that are readily defined as opposed to being ambiguous, like, you know, always be nice or something like that. You know, So I would like to bring those forward as a, you know, as a comment, at least personally, that I'd like to see some extension of the code of conduct beyond financial conflicts of interest to include certain kinds of behavior that are, you know, that can be considered oppressive.
We'll delve back into that next time after you've spoken to the council. Well, so if we do the hearing next time, I mean, I would suggest if we're going to do a hearing, that's the only thing we do that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we.
Yeah.
So when I say next time, I mean next regular meeting.
Okay. Yeah, it, otherwise, it wouldn't really be fair to the person. Yeah. Oh, we got this other business.
Okay, so moving on to the next agenda item. Material to be included to the website. So I had asked that this get added in response to Mr. Skolnick's comments. I think it was last time during the open comment period, mentioning that some of the materials that we discuss and that are referenced a lot are not available on the website to anyone that might be interested. So I wanted to open that up for discussion and see if we can, in the interest of transparency, what all can we put on there while also keeping private data secured and private.
Well, I can tell you legally from today anyway, I mean, the only attachment, I believe, was Mr. Schmitz's letter, which we definitely could have included. I did put it up on the screen there when we were talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
The city has, uses a software called, it's got many different names, I guess. I think it's called IQM2 now. And there had been a lot of issues with that. I believe this meeting did, it's gonna be in under past meetings. I don't see it on here, but yeah. I believe it did to get on the IQM2, right?
You're on the council, where I can go up and select.
Oh, man.
Yep, just underneath the drop-down arrow, there you go.
Oh, okay. So it did get on here this time, okay. So we can include the agenda on here now. Before it was just posted on your website. This is a little different. I mean, it's all on the city's website, but it's just found in a different place. So this will be in where this is the same software that's used for most other boards and commissions. And then the agenda can be posted on here as well, and then we can put documents on there too.
Mm-hmm.
So do you plan on attaching any attachments that we might discuss? I mean, that you've reviewed and you're like, yeah, this is okay to post?
Yes.
Okay.
I can do that. Anything that is
not private data.
I don't think it needs to be. You can if you want.
But. Anybody want to discuss that?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I think anything that is of a non-confidential
nature. That seems consistent with all these like open meeting rules and things like that. So.
And it is kind of weird to have the agenda visible. We're going to discuss this attachment.
Right.
Yeah, unless it's confidential like that
right.
specific
Agreed.
Complaint.
Yeah, I can make sure those are included.
Okay, anyone else on that agenda item? Mm-hmm. All right.
If I may, what about redacted versions of the confidential, you know, the subject memo?
Like to just black out the name kind of stuff?
We can do that as well. If there's something that's a public document but has private data within it, we can do that.
So what do you think? I mean, with that complaint, for example, it mentioned the person's name, but you could easily black that out. Would that be something that you would say that would be okay to post that specific complaint with the person's name blacked out, or would that whole thing be considered confidential until we decide that it's worthy of discussion?
So when we're doing complaints, the entire thing would be considered private data just because it is a ongoing investigation would be the section of state law that we're going under, not the individual name per se.
Okay.
However, we could do so like the police, when they have an ongoing investigation, they are required to release certain information. We could kind of piggyback off of that and just give a brief overview, I guess, of what the allegation is.
Or maybe even on the agenda, adding a footnote, this data private, just so a community member isn't looking for it, and they're like, oh, they wanted to include it, but they couldn't because it was private data. You know,
right.
Just like it's acknowledged, kind of.
Now, for our meeting coming up, I assume then the person would be identified in that agenda or not?
Yes.
They would be identified in the agenda. So
right.
People would know in advance of the meeting that this individual.
I wouldn't do so until he's been notified.
Oh, of course, okay. Of course, yeah. Oh, hey, I saw your name.
Anything else? Any other like new business before we? We'll figure out the hearing stuff via email to get the scheduling stuff figured out. Do we want to wait until that, until we worry about scheduling another next meeting? Doesn't end up too close together or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because our next meeting would be that, and then unless there's something urgent that comes up, and that's like, turns out it's 2 months from now. But.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Motion to adjourn?
So.
Second.
All
right.
Favor?
Yes. Aye.
Two.
Do you want any other people?
Just
that was funny. I had no idea that you were also on that. So,
I'm
glad
you're
on that. I'm glad you're on that.